Okay, it's 5:01. We've got a good group with us tonight, and I want to welcome you to WLS Success Matters monthly telephone support group call. I'm glad you could all make it. I am Sandy Henderson, one of the two coaches and educators of WLS Success Matters. Wendy Campbell, my cohort, will be doing the next group the first Saturday in November. I had to think for a moment what month this is. With COVID and working directly from home and not going out a lot, I have no idea what day of the week it is or what month it is. Anybody else with me on that?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it gets kind of confusing out there. So just a little bit of technical information. If you've got background noise, if you've got, you know, kids running in the background or fire trucks or dogs barking or what have you, star 6 will mute you. You'll still be able to hear the entire call, and star 6 will unmute you, will allow you to speak and be heard by the entire group. I'd love to hear from all of you tonight, and the topic that I want to speak about, considering we are 16 days away from the official start of the craziness called the holiday season at the end of an insane year called 2020, I want to talk about thriving through the holidays rather than just surviving through the holidays. I kind of like to, I've got people on the call from all over the country. I can see by area codes. I have New Jersey, I have California, I have Kentucky, I have Tennessee, Philadelphia, just the area codes that I recognize off the top of my head. I don't know where 484 is. Is that Pennsylvania also?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's
so,
me too.
Okay. Yeah, we have a few of you, and you know, I know various practices, you know, send you for the free support groups. Can I hear from anybody who has already had weight loss surgery? I kind of want to know, you know, where you are on your journey. So if you've had weight loss surgery already, please kind of just speak up and just say me, because I can get a handle on roughly how many it is.
Me?
Okay. Only one of you have had weight loss surgery. Everybody else is in this prior to surgery? Who has surgery scheduled in the next month?
I'm hoping to.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'm close to getting it scheduled.
Okay.
I am as well.
I just need my second support group to get my date.
Okay, wonderful. So I hear a lot of people who are very close to getting scheduled and I believe are probably trying to get scheduled before the end of the year, you know, due to insurance, et cetera, et cetera. I had one gentleman who said he already had surgery. Can you tell me where you are on your journey? Are you 2 days out, a month out?
No, not quite. I'm actually 20 years out, and I'm actually pre-op again now because I was probably one of the first to get lap band when it was introduced in 2002.
I have a lap band. I'm 16 plus years lap band.
Okay. Well, I had it for almost 20 years, and I did fantastic with it. I had to get it removed in February of this year because of complications. So now I'm pre-op for the sleeve.
Okay. All right. Well, congratulations to you.
I have kind of a similar story, actually.
Okay.
My name's Melody, and I had a lap band before, too. And now I had to have it removed because of complications, and now I'm looking at getting a gastric bypass.
Okay. Great. So there's a few of you who have been there and done that. Doesn't matter what the surgery is. Aftercare and what we need to do after surgery is the same regardless, you know, regardless of the surgery. We have to pretty much change our lifestyles. So that's kind of what I want to talk about when it comes to, you know, thriving, you know, rather than just surviving the holiday season. So anybody want to share with me what a typical Halloween, not 2020, what a typical Halloween has looked like at their house and their life in the past? And there's no judgment here. You know, this is a reality. I'll start with me. What I used to do before weight loss surgery is I go and buy bunches of candy, which I would keep in the house, and I would definitely have a couple of bags of my favorite mini chocolates, whatever they were at the moment. You know, were they Snickers? Were they Milky Way? Were they Three Musketeers? What, you know, whatever they were, Butterfingers. I'm having a hard time naming them because I haven't had them in so long. And, you know, whatever they were. And, you know, the doorbell would ring, and it would be, you know, one for me and one for them. And come the end of the night, you know, these little, you know, $50 or $75 bites of candy, 75-calorie bites of candy, would add up to hundreds of calories. So, you know, that was my previous, you know, previous Halloween. As an adult with no children in the house, when I had my daughter in the house or when my grandkids are here, you know, different story, slightly different dynamic. So what's a typical Halloween like been like for you? Anybody want to share?
Hi, I'm Tina from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Tina.
I was never a sweet eater, so Halloween was my time to enjoy a, you know, Almond Joy or a couple of Snickers bars or something like that. But that's the only time that I really gravitate towards sweets. This year, I'm not going to touch them. I have no desire for them. You know, I'm starting, I've been on my journey now for 2 months, and I want to stay on the right track. So this year it might be sunflower nut butter that I've made at home with some apples, because the roasted salted sunflowers, when you process them in the food processor or the blender, they have like a little caramelly taste. So I'll dip apples in that, and that'll be what I'm going to have.
And that's for you. How about, do you get trick-or-treaters at your door, or do you have kids in the house?
I have a 14-year-old, so he'll be going out. Well, not this year, but he would normally be going out. And we would normally have trick-or-treaters, but, you know, not this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, I get it, but some people will still, I bet that I still have trick-or-treaters. Now, I live in a small town. I live, you know, it's not tiny, you know, it's not like a small town in Pennsylvania, which could be really rural, but because it's a beach community in California. And typically people from other neighborhoods come in by the van loads and are kind of dumped off because they think, you know, even though it's not true, we are the, you know, we're the wealthy families and, you know, are going to have all the good stuff. And, you know, so typically we get lots and lots and lots of trick-or-treaters of all ages. You know, we get infants to grandmas. And so I don't know what we're going to have this year. So I'm going to prepare. And the way I'm going to prepare is I'm going to take a cauldron or a box. If I can't locate my cauldron, I have a big black plastic cauldron, and fill it with candy and put a sign on it that says, take one and leave some for the little kids. And
right.
That goes outside my gate. And, you know, there's a light on it and, you know, everybody can see, and that's it. The kids on my block, I will take care of, you know, individually. But the kids, you know, if they come in by the van load, whatever, if there's candy left over at the end, it's going either in the trash or going to get donated somewhere. I hate to donate candy because there's nothing good about it. And that's what I'm going to do. What are some of you going to do on Halloween? Tina, you've got, you know, a great idea. You know, sunflower nut butter with apples so that you're enjoying some great fall flavors is good. That's such a healthy choice. That's wonderful. And it actually sounds delicious. Yeah, it sounds delicious. I might have to do that too. Okay, anybody else? What are you going to do on Halloween? Have you thought about it?
Hi, I'm Brittany from also from Pennsylvania. So normally, my son's three, so normally I would only like just go around with my nephew or something or help my mom hand out candy. But I'm not really much of a, I'm more of like a, I don't care about candy as much as I care. Like, I would have a problem with like pastry options. So I was never really a candy person. Plus, I am allergic to chocolate, so that doesn't faze me when it comes to, like, the chocolate part of it. And I think the only thing that I've ever liked in, like, candy form would be, like, gummy stuff, and you don't really get that much of that in, like, trick-or-treating. So I don't really have the issue with the candy being in the house because my son will eat it. Or my fiance will eat it, but me, like, it's not really much of a problem. But since of COVID this year, we're not going trick or treating, but we are going to my fiance's friend's house or friend's parents' house for a Halloween party. So, his mom likes to cook a lot of food and stuff and have a like a whole thing. So I will do my. Actually, I will be. Very, what's the word I'm looking for? Depending on if I even get my date before Halloween, I don't even know if it'll be on Halloween. We'll see. Because I'm supposed to actually, my earliest date was supposed to be the 16th of this month. And I still have to receive a phone call from the doctor letting me know what is my date. But... if I will be attending this Halloween party, I will make sure that I do not overeat at all. Or if I don't even, if I'm not even able to eat then, I'll just, you know, hang out.
That might in fact be the case. But let's assume your surgery date is, you know, November 1st or November 2nd, or not even then. Let's assume your surgery date is after Halloween, and, you know, you're not on, well, even if you were on your pre-op diet, it would still be temptations to you. You're at your, you know, your fiance's parents' house, and there's pastries. There's going to be Halloween cookies. There's going to be Halloween cupcakes. There might even be a Halloween cake.
I think what I'm going to do is just, like, I'm pretty good with, like, saying no to myself. Like, I do that when I go grocery shopping. I walk around, and I'm like, oh, look. And then I'm like, no. Like, my mind will want me to, but then I'm like, I know I can't, so I don't. And I think I'll be good doing that. Plus, I will do what I would normally do during the day where I, like, very, very small amounts. Like, instead of doing, like, a protein shake, sometimes I have a protein bar. So I'm chewing something, and I will make sure to drink a lot of fluids throughout the day, as usual, because it does help fill.
Exactly. Excellent points. Those are two points, and I'm really glad you stated them. Those are two things I was looking for. Basically, you want to make sure that you don't go to a Halloween party hungry. Because if you're hungry, it's really much more difficult to say no to your favorite candy, your favorite cookie, your favorite cocktail even. Much more difficult. But if you're not hungry, it's a little bit easier. None of it is really easy. It's all work for us. And that's
I think my biggest weakness out of everything will be coffee, but I started drinking decaf coffee, which is not a problem to me. And I started buying the zero sugar coffee creamer because I like to add flavor to my coffee. And
I have a
trick
for you on adding flavor to your coffee. I'm going to stop you. A great trick for adding flavor to your coffee that isn't a whole bunch of additives is to take a container of Premier protein. I like caramel. You can use vanilla. You can use caramel. They have chocolate. They have a cafe latte flavor. They have other flavors, banana, which sounds horrible in coffee. you know, but they have much. Yeah, banana coffee just doesn't quite make it. But there's a whole bunch of other flavors.
I heard of that idea, and I haven't tried it, but I do have Premier protein shakes in my fridge. The caramel one, so I think I am going to try that, actually. And I also don't like to use, I actually haven't for years. I don't like to use sugar in my coffee. I like to use stevia.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, this will, you know, flavor it and sweeten it. And you can do that with iced coffee, too. You can make up some instant, you know, some iced coffee, decaf iced coffee, and add those.
I have actually, I had actually made one morning for myself. I like to make, sometimes I like to make breakfast smoothies where I'll add like a little bit of yogurt, spinach. I like to put in like a low sugar oatmeal, a couple, like sometimes I'll add fruit, like I'll add like a banana or some strawberry. And the one time I didn't put any of that in, I just put in like the protein shake stuff. I put in some coffee, like just coffee brewed from my thing, like some black coffee. And I put in, I think I just put in almond milk. And I think I did a little bit of yogurt. And I just love putting in spinach in smoothies. I think it just is an extra healthy additive that I like, no matter if it's a
way. Yeah, it's a great way to get your vegetables in when you're eating very, very little. It's a good way.
Yeah.
So I hear what I hear this woman saying, who is brilliant and who is setting herself up for success, for long-term success, is that she has alternatives in place that she likes the flavors of, that she likes to experiment with, and that she enjoys, and she's going to use them as substitutes for the candy and the cookies and another K word that's a technical term, the crap, you know, of the Halloween holiday. Yeah, it's a technical term for me. And that's a great, those are great ideas. And
well, having the protein
thing,
bars definitely help with that too, by the way.
Yeah,
with
well,
the idea
yeah,
of having a pastry.
Bars, yeah, protein bars can be good or they can be bad. Protein bars, yeah, they act like pastries. They act like chocolate bars very, very often. And however, some people have trouble not using them as, quote, between meal snacks. And, you know, I don't know of a, you know, a 200 to 300 calorie snack that is a really good idea because that's a meal. It, you know, but they do have their place. So that's for sure. Okay, let's move. You know, we've got Halloween. The one trick about Halloween is what if your kids do come back, even if they just go to your, you know, their grandparents' house or their aunt's house or, you know, to a small gathering, what if your kids come back with, you know, a bunch of candy? You know, what do you do with it? Anybody?
Hello, my name
anybody?
Is Gia.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from somebody new.
So my son, he is 5 and he's blind and autistic, but I always want him to get every experience possible, and so I take him trick-or-treating. He doesn't like anything but lollipops. And so I would eat all of his candy. But I feel like,
that's
well, this
honest.
Is not going.
Thank you. Don't feel bad. He's honest.
Yeah, I would give him
when
all the lollipops, but I'd eat everything else.
Okay.
But I, if it was a typical Halloween, I would probably just go out and buy him lollipops instead of just taking him out just so I could eat his candy, because I know it'd be hurting me more than helping. And he doesn't care. He doesn't know the difference. He doesn't know that he's dressing up to be anything. So it's mostly for me, my greediness.
Yeah, the other piece of that is, if you want to let your child have one or two pieces of candy, whatever it is a day, for a couple of days, then you need to get rid of the rest of it. It's really okay to throw away food. Anybody have problems throwing away food?
I do.
I do.
Okay.
I don't.
Yeah, I don't anymore. I used to, but I don't anymore. I learned that it has more value to me, dollar-wise and health-wise, in the trash than it does down my pie hole.
I try to give it away before I throw it away, though.
That's a great idea, depending on what it is. However, that works if you can get it out of your house. One of the best things to do would be to, whatever Halloween is going to be, but on November 1st, all the leftovers from Halloween go away. Whatever go away means, dentists seem to buy back candy. They like doing that to support dental health. They trash it. Have your kids sell it back, sell it back to them. If you're having people over, think about what you can do that's not candy for Halloween, that's Halloweenish. Anybody have, an appetizer that would go well, with a Halloween theme?
Hi, this is Melody. I've been looking at, vegetable platters with some sort of dip, and you can make them in the shape of a jack-o'-lantern, or you can actually buy a small pumpkin and, put some dip in that. Now, you'd have to be careful about what you use as a dip, of course, but it'd be more healthy than a lot of things that people eat at Halloween.
Yeah, and there's an easy one that's really actually kind of fun. I just wanted to share it, and then we're going to move past Halloween because it's, it's one day, and then basically the gates open wide for the holiday season after that. Deviled eggs, and when you put the egg mixture back into the eggs, put a slice of, a piece of sliced olive on there and make eyeballs out of them. You can get red food coloring if you're really, into it, and make the eyes all yellowy and bloodshot. And then you serve a plate of eyes. How Halloween is that?
I've seen this other option where you can cut orange bell peppers and make them look like jack-o'-lanterns.
Right.
And then you fill it with like stuff, like you can make it like a stuffed pepper.
Right. But there's all sorts of ways, and you know what? We have the internet, folks. So it's just like, into Google you put low calorie or healthy Halloween snacks.
Pinterest is really good for that.
And you just start going through, Pinterest is good for it. You just start going through and finding something that just kind of tickles your fancy. I don't know any 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9-year-old child that wouldn't love to be eating eyeballs. They would just absolutely love it. And on that note, anybody else have any great ideas for Halloween before we move past it? Okay, so what comes up next after Halloween? It's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving and then Christmas. And what about Thanksgiving? You know, what is Thanksgiving all about in the reality for American families?
Eating.
Eating. Food.
Eating.
And eating.
Yeah.
And more food and eating. And football. Can't leave that out, right? How are you going to deal with it? What's your plan? Do you have any sort of a plan for dealing with Thanksgiving? We can't depend on our surgery to do everything for us. We have to work with our surgery to make it happen, because I guarantee you that once you're about 6 months post-op, I can't speak to before that time, because you might not be able to eat more than a bite or two, but you may be able to. I can't speak for what you'll be. But I can tell you that once you're 6 months or more post-op, that if you start grazing in the morning, you can graze your way through 3,000 or 4,000 calories by night's end. No matter what surgery you've had, you'll learn to eat around it if you want to. So what do we need to do here? How do we make it so that we can feed our families, feed our friends, have lovely dinners, and still come out ahead as weight loss surgery patients? Any ideas?
I know. Hi. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. This is Shakira from Pennsylvania. And I just think about similar to when I did Weight Watchers and things, when how these came up, just making sure that there are several options of things that I'm bringing that I actually like that are on the healthier side, and just having smaller portions of other things so that I can like make sure I fill up my plate with multiple vegetables and a piece of fish. Not a big turkey eater, and just really fill my plate up with that, and just only a dollop of macaroni and cheese or what some of those other items.
What size plate are you using? What size plate are you using?
Thanksgiving, it's a nice size plate.
Okay, as a weight loss surgery patient, what size plate would you really want to use?
Toddler or baby.
Yeah.
Or
what's your what is your capacity? Have you had the conversation with your dietitian or your doctor yet as to what your post weight loss surgery capacity is? What's the amount that's recommended that you eat?
So, yes, but I'm just in, like, I may be a week out of consultation, 2 weeks out. So I'm just thinking about, like,
no, that's fine. You're not wrong. I'm talking about directing you to being, you know, a weight loss surgery patient. It's using a small plate, and it's putting on the plate only what you can eat at one sitting. And what's recommended by various doctors is typically somewhere between a half a cup and 1.5 cups of food total.
Okay.
So you have to think about that. Now, if you put a half a cup or a cup of food even on a big 10-inch dinner plate, boy, my eyes are going to not be happy looking at that, even if it's my favorite food. I'm not going to be happy about that. What can you do to make yourself happier about what's on your plate?
Well, make it look, I'm sorry to jump in. Make it look appealing.
Go ahead.
You know, for
and how
Greek,
do you do that?
I'm Greek, and all we do is eat. Somebody dies, we eat. Somebody has a baby, we eat. Somebody, you know, somebody comes over to visit, we eat. That's all we do. It's like round the clock. The kitchen is the heart, you know. But I would, no matter how small the portion is, I would make it look appealing. We have an expression. The Greeks say, first you eat with your eyes, and then you eat with your stomach.
Exactly. And that is the truth. So if you eat with your eyes and you're putting a tiny portion on a 10-inch
plate,
what are your eyes telling you?
Your eyes are telling you, boy, am I missing out on a lot. But if you put it in a nice little plate, and you could go to a thrift store and get a pretty little plate, you know, you don't have to spend a lot of money, and it can be festive, and you can have a small little plate for every holiday, you know, the theme. And it will be full, and your eyes will say, wow, I'm getting a lot of stuff. And, you know, consequently, you're going to trick your stomach and your brain into thinking that you're full and you won't overeat.
You're not tricking anything. You actually are full.
I'm sorry.
I'm mad about it. No, I just wanted to make it clear, and I understand, you know, what you're doing is you're tricking your brain into saying, wow, this is a lot of food. Because we're typically on Thanksgiving, we pile a plate full, a big plate full. It becomes like a buffet, even if you're all sitting down together passing everything around. It's like, you know, a buffet, it's pile it higher and deeper. You know, it's how big can you fill the plate? And face it, ladies and gentlemen, we did not get overweight and obese because we ate tiny little bits very delicately in small portions on small plates. But that's what we need to learn how to do. And I'm telling you, after your surgery, it's enough. You'll know it's enough. Your stomach actually won't want to go on. But if you have all this big amount on your plate, what you'll do is you'll finish what you can and you'll sit there and then you'll start in conversation with everybody at the table and then you'll pick a little bit and then you'll start in conversation a little bit more because sometimes we sit at that Thanksgiving dinner table for hours.
True.
If we have a small plate and we put on it only what we intend to eat, and we put it on a festive or a very pretty plate, and then we eat what's there, and we remove the plate from the table, and possibly even remove ourselves from the table. Maybe we have to go to the kids' table to, you know, help them, or we can start cleaning up or whatever. But sitting at the table for a long period of time is also dangerous, no matter how small the plate is. But step one is small plate. And the lady from Pennsylvania is absolutely right. Get yourself a small plate that's attractive. I used my first Thanksgiving after weight loss surgery. I set the table for 12, I believe. And everybody had their big plates with my, you know, my favorite tableware on it. And I used a dessert plate for me. And I also used a smaller, I did not use a toddler fork. I used the salad fork just because it's a little smaller than the regular fork. And I tend to take smaller bites. If I'm having soup, there's no soup spoon. There's only a teaspoon there so that the bites are smaller. And that's a key. That's how you get to enjoy a little bit of the foods. You put the healthier foods on your plate, or maybe you revise your menu. Maybe you take out half the butter and half the sugar, you know, from some of your recipes, and it works. I made a pudding one year that was zero. It was Greek yogurt, you know, unflavored Greek yogurt, pumpkin, and I think, sugar-free vanilla pudding. And I put it in, you know, cocktail glasses like it was a mousse. And everybody thought it was pumpkin mousse and it was delicious and they didn't know they were eating healthy food. And that was my breakfast for several days because it had a lot of protein in it. But it was also dessert on Thanksgiving. So it worked. There's ways. I'm not telling you to do what I did. Find your way. Find the way to make the holiday fun. Visit with the family. It's great to have them over. It's also very stressful, you know, to be in the middle of, you know, all the chaos of family. And it's also, if you're using a small plate, you may get a lot of, you know, side eye. But just you know, just be ready. This is all I want. I want to taste a little bit of everything. And if you only put certain things on your plate, that's fine. And when grandma comes back and says, have another piece, I made this special for you, it's whatever your favorite dessert is, you just have to say, I'm full, I couldn't take another bite, I would get sick. And you know what? After weight loss surgery, that's not a lie. That is the truth. Before weight loss surgery, maybe not so much. You could always find room for another bite. I could, at least. That's how I got to 424 pounds. But does this make sense? Anybody have any other ideas? Have you thought about Thanksgiving and what you're going to make?
Hi, it's Tina from Pennsylvania again. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. Thank you. Thank you for sharing, Tina. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
My voice gets tired.
My family knows that I'm on this journey, my extended family, because I'm an only child, but like my cousins, and we all get together. And this year, instead of staying around the table, you know, putting tons and tons of food out, we're going to put the food out. The desserts are going to be in a separate area. You know, it's not all going to be out on one big table. And in order to get us moving around, we're going to take a break, I guess, after the main course and before any kind of dessert or anything, and we're going to play a family feud. So
it's how fun.
Yeah. We're going to split up into teams, and one of the cousins has gone through all of our crazy family history and is making up the questions, and that should take up about an hour. So we're doing something, you know, and again, they're doing this to help me.
That's wonderful. That is true support. Something that we do that in Pennsylvania, if the weather is with you, you might be able to do it. If the weather's not with you, you might not. And in California, occasionally we'll get rain on Thanksgiving, but that's only occasionally. You know, we'll go for a walk between dinner and dessert.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a really, you know, really good thing. And then half the time, you know, coming back, you know, half the people just want maybe, you know, a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and don't even want dessert because they just are, you know, they're done. And then I send the desserts home. I have made, well, my daughter makes pecan pies. My granddaughter makes pumpkin pies. And I actually made a pumpkin protein bake, again, with protein in it, so I could have a little piece, put a little squirt of whipped cream on it, and I'm, you know, eating protein. And again, then I had them for breakfast after that. But I send the leftovers home so that they're not in my house. We've had big birthday parties here with giant cakes and lots of people, and out the door it went. And if it didn't go out the door, people would say, I don't want it. You keep it. You know, it's your cake and whatever. I'm going, if it stays here, the minute your car pulls out of my driveway, it's going in the garbage. And it's going in the big garbage can, the ugly, disgusting one outside, the one I would never go into to retrieve anything from. Okay, do you hear the subtleness there? I have, you know, taken stuff and thrown it in my trash and inside the house, and if my trash has got, you know, a new bag in it and not a lot of stuff, and then I decide I have to have it, I've gone back in there, not anymore, but, you know, previously, because willpower doesn't work. You have to know why you're doing it. Think about why. If you want to go back and you're trying to put more food in your body than your body wants, think about why you had surgery, why you're having surgery, what you visualize your outcome to be, and then look at what it is you're trying to choose and say, is this going to serve me? So is it going to serve you to have your dinner on a big plate and then have dessert afterwards? Is it really going to serve you to have even a little taste of everything? Some of the things are too high in sugar, and if you're having an RNY, you know, if you're having a bypass, you might suffer from dumping syndrome, and that might be enough to set you over the edge. So you need to be aware and be careful. So there's Thanksgiving. Anybody else have some ideas you know, for Thanksgiving. I also took my standard way of making stuffing, which is a chestnut stuffing that, you know, my mom started making, no recipe for it, you know, I just know, we just all know what goes in it. And, you know, I cut down half the things that go in it because they were just too high in fat. And guess what? It still tastes good. It's amazing what, you know, varying a recipe a little bit can do. So be aware. And what else about Thanksgiving? What do you do? You know, does anybody have a regular routine of, you know, when they get up, when they exercise, when they have their water, when they have their meals? It's really important, especially during the, you know, the hectic holiday season when you might be actually going to stores to shop instead of shopping online. I do 98% of it online because I refuse to wait in line at stores. Keeping your routine really helps. If you're exercising and you're drinking your water on a daily basis and you're getting your protein in, it's easier to say no to all of those holiday treats that are all over the place. Any of you back in physical locations for work other than your home, you know that your offices or your buildings get filled up with a whole lot of delicious but junk food nevertheless, you know, during the holidays.
True.
Yeah. How do you deal with that?
It's Tina again from Pennsylvania, I'm sorry. My office is right next to the kitchen.
Right work. Next to what? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
The kitchen.
Oh, okay.
It's right next to the kitchen. So everything is literally to the left of my door. And I just basically ignore it. I'll look at it, but I ignore it because I say to myself, why am I going to be putting myself through all this if, you know what I mean, if I'm going to go back to my old ways?
Exactly. Exactly. You have to make the lifestyle changes that are necessary. What's going to happen for those of you who haven't had surgery yet? I guarantee you that right after surgery, you won't be able to, well, first of all, you're on a liquid. You go from clear liquids to full liquids to purees to, you know, to solids and then to, you know, a full access menu. The doctors usually give you various steps along the way. And I guarantee you that you will lose weight immediately after surgery. Sometimes you're full of IV fluids and whatever, but you're going to lose weight that first couple of months. No matter what you do, you're going to lose weight. But suddenly, it's not just your surgery working, it's you having to work it too as you start adding food back, and you have to learn what's going to work for you and what's not. And that doesn't mean you have to eat all foods that are say that they're made for weight loss surgery patients, you know, because my experience is that over 50% of those foods taste like cardboard and are so full of different types of preservatives that I can't even pronounce their names.
Yeah.
The way to learn how to eat for long-term success is when you do start introducing food, real food, back into your, you know, your daily food plan, is to eat what I call as close to the ground as possible.
Yep.
Eat fresh vegetables, and you're going to have to cook them. For some people, raw vegetables, other than an occasional salad, you know, some lettuce types, you know, aren't going to work. And for some people, it will work. And, you know, your proteins, firm protein, don't live on protein shakes. You're going to have to for a little while, but after that, you know, start putting real food and start eating real food, because firm protein, a piece of chicken, a piece of fish, a piece of meat, a piece of turkey, a shrimp, a scallop. They will all keep you satisfied longer, and they will also give your bodies the building blocks they need to stay healthy and build muscle and not have all your muscle being lost to that weight loss at the beginning. Because if you don't get your protein in, your body goes to your muscles and you start losing, whatever muscle you might have. It's not good. You need to work on getting your protein in. So work on eating those foods and make them delicious. There's no reason why you can't. If any of you have ever seen, my posts or any of my food posts on my Facebook page, it's all about I only eat delicious food. Tonight, let's see what's on the menu. I had browned up some turkey meat with some onion and some bell pepper and added garlic and oregano and a little rosemary, a little thyme, maybe. No, I didn't add any fennel. Some Italian seasoning, easy way to describe it. And then I had some purchased marinara sauce from Trader Joe's that is 45 calories for a half a cup. And that all got mixed together and cooked down for a little while, so all the flavors blended. And it's over spaghetti squash. So I'm having pasta for dinner.
Yep.
It's just not pasta. It's spaghetti squash pasta.
Oh, zucchini spaghetti is really good.
Or zucchini spaghetti works really well. I like spaghetti squash done in the Instant Pot. I just throw it in 25 minutes later. I release the pressure and let it cool and cut it, seed it, and, it doesn't get soggy. And I like
the Instant Pot is the best friend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like zucchini noodles done in an air fryer because they get cooked, they stay al dente, and they don't get soggy.
Right.
So I found the ways to do it. And you can use that for any pasta. So you can make, all your dinners. I know my sister-in-law, let her, rest in peace, she's gone now, but, her Christmas dinner being Italian, in addition to the turkey and the ham, always had a giant tray of ziti. And that's before we had the big giant appetizers and the 14 desserts afterwards. And
it's one of my favorite.
I'm sorry?
It's one of my favorite things to make. And you can make it, it's like super easy. So I have a big obsession with anything taco related. I love taco flavored stuff. So one of my favorite dishes to make is taco stuffed peppers so that you're not using, like, the shells or anything like that. And I also learned how to make the taco seasoning with using seasoning so that you can control the salt intake and stuff like that.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and it's really quite easy to, put together. It's just a matter of how much of the ground chili, how much chili peppers do you want in it, how much cumin do you want in it,
and
a bit of oregano.
I'm not a beef, ground beef person. I don't like ground beef, so I only use ground turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I cook with ground turkey, ground chicken, and 96.4, so 4% lean instead of the standard 20%, fat ground beef when I do make it, which is only occasionally. And, basically your protein, your protein to calorie ratio is great on, all of those. It works great. But there's easy ways to substitute. You can do the same at your holiday meals. Start new traditions.
Yep.
Start new traditions. Start new healthy traditions. Play a game that engages all of the family between dinner and dessert. Go for a walk. Keep your schedule. Get your fitness in the morning. Keep drinking your water. when you're sitting around watching the football game between meals on Thanksgiving or whatever on New Year's Day, or, you know, whenever it is, or you're watching TV with the family, or you're doing whatever, keep your water bottle in your hand. And instead of reaching for the chips and the pretzels and the dip, drink your water.
My best friend, she had gotten the surgery. She's a year out, so that kind of helps with support. But she bought me a 30-ounce double-walled insulated bottle for me to use because she knows, obviously, what I have to consume. And she's like, just drink two of these a day and you're good.
Yes.
So that helps a lot.
And keep it with you wherever you go. I'm sitting here, you know, I've probably had about 8 ounces of water out of my, you know, my new 1 liter bottle size of water, you know, while we're on the call. Anybody have any other ideas about what they do at Christmas? Keeping your schedule to keep your sanity is really important. It gets really hectic. There are parties, there are places to go. There might not be so many parties this year because it's new and it's different and we're living in, you know, in the COVID-19 world. But I bet there's still going to be parties. Do you want to make it through on January 1st when you hop on the scale? Where do you want to be? And what's it going to take to get there? And it's not deprivation. You don't need to deprive yourself. What you need to do is create a new self.
Right.
Your previous self probably never tasted that second, third, and fourth cookie. The first one was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
That previous self probably never tasted, you know, grandma's homemade stuffing past the first or second bite. The rest of it was just automatically, without thinking, putting the food in our mouths. So it's about thinking and choosing to thrive, keeping a routine going, not letting yourself get drawn into chaos, and making decisions that promote your own health. I just, you know, most of you are pre-op, so this might not work for, you know, this might not be for you. However, you know, we do have a group. WLS Success Matters has a Facebook group. The group goes all year long, but in November and December, the group is special. We call it Hanging Through the Holidays. And, you know, it's full of tips and tricks to make it through the holidays. We have recipes. We even put up recipes, you know, I'm not promoting alcoholic beverages for anybody post-op, especially immediately post-op, but the fact of the matter is we're adults, and some of us will choose to have an adult beverage from time to time. On the holidays is a time when we frequently choose to have an adult beverage. We'll be putting in recipes for adult beverages that are between 100 and 120 calories, so you're not having that frozen daiquiri that is, you know, 350 calories, that margarita that can be, you know, up to 400 calories, or that eggnog. I even have recipes for low-cal eggnog. That, by the way, is delicious. Spiked eggnog, you know, as well as just regular eggnog. And this is what we do. We share recipes for, you know, appetizers and meals and side dishes for the holidays, and we stay together. You know, every day there is something to engage us in the group to keep us thinking about what we want to do, where we want to be come January 1st, and how to thrive, you know, through the holidays instead of just surviving, getting past them, not being present in the moment, just pushing, you know, pushing through without even thinking about some of the things we're doing. And that's the key to thriving, is to stay in the moment, make your choices, and realize that you're only one person and you can only be doing one thing at a time, and everything that needs to get done will get done, and you are enough and you are capable of making all those good decisions. You have all made decisions for your health. You have all made decisions to better your life. I can tell you at 424 pounds, it was no fun getting from one place to the other for me. Now I am missing travel more than you can even imagine. And I'm planning to start traveling again at the very end of the year and at the beginning of the new year. And I'm 72 years old, or 72 years young, as I prefer to call myself. So just think about how you're planning to change your lives for the better, and keep that vision of what you want to look like, who you want to be. Where do you see yourself in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years? And keep that vision in front of you when you make your choices. Is that pumpkin pie with the whipped cream on it worth delaying reaching your vision? If your answer is yes, enjoy it. Don't wrap it in guilt. We have stuck ourselves in this vicious circle of diet, off the diet, guilt, back on the diet, okay, off the diet, guilt. And we need to take guilt out of the equation. And we need to take the word diet out of the equation. And we need to replace that with lifestyle. Because going on a diet after weight loss surgery to lose the weight and then going back to the way it was before you had surgery, you'll put the weight back on. It won't keep it off. It might be great for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. You might even make 24 months. But then the regain will start. I can guarantee it. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you the same thing that your doctor's telling you. I'm telling you the same thing that your dietitian is telling you. Your surgery is not a magic bullet. It's a tool. Learn how to use it. If you drive a car with your eyes closed, what's going to happen?
Oh, you're going to crash.
Exactly. If you go into this process with your eyes closed, expecting your surgery to do all the work for you, what's going to happen?
You're
going to crash.
Yeah, you're going to gain the weight back.
You all, every one of you, have it in you to be the best you that you can be, to be successful at this weight loss surgery. I am sure in other phases of your life, your great employees, your great, business owners, your great professionals, your great moms, your great dads, your great brothers, your great sons and daughters, your great cousins, you know. Be great at this as well. You can. That's why you're choosing surgery, to help you get there. Does this make sense, guys? I mean, it's been really quiet. There have been two of you.
Absolutely. Yes, it definitely does.
Okay.
Yeah, without
any
a doubt.
Questions? Good. Any questions from any of you? And by the way, WLS Success Matters has also written a cookbook, because Wendy and I both only eat delicious food. And it's got recipes in it that are weight loss surgery and, quote, real people who have not been altered surgically friendly. My husband and my family, my daughter and my grandkids, eat everything I make.
Oh, wow.
With no question. I don't cook meal for me. I cook, I make things for them. I portion it out for me, but most of my foods are high protein. And when the protein's high and the calorie count is low, the carbs and the fats take care of themselves. So I count calories and protein when I count. I typically don't count carbs because they take care of themselves. So the cookbook is available through our website, WLSSuccessMatters.com, or from Amazon. It's called Eat Your Way to Success and Learn How to Control Hunger. Being protein first, it controls your hunger for you. There's that. There's our groups. There's our free support groups. Our next support group call is the first Saturday in November. So you're welcome to join us. If you want a little motivation, a little help, you're having a tough time, getting through, all of our calls have been recorded. You can go to our website and go to our free support call podcast and just download one of the calls and listen to it. Listen to it when you're walking outside. Listen to it when you're sitting in your house crying because everybody else is going out and having pizza, and you know if you went to that pizza place, you would eat it, and you don't want to eat it. And you're going to cry, and it's okay, because you need to feel your emotion rather than stuffing it with food. So there's a lot, that I talked about tonight. Some of it, is definitely around the holidays. Some of it is around the rest of your life. I hope, you're taking away, something that's useful for you. And those of you who need confirmation that you've attended this group, send an email to wlssuccessmatters@gmail.com and just highlight what you're taking away from the support group tonight and say you need confirmation, and I'll return an email to you confirming that you have been on this call. So
I'm sorry, what was the email again?
wlssuccessmatters@gmail.com.
Okay.
Okay, everybody get that needs it? And then yep. I'm willing to stay on the phone and answer, specific questions for you for another 20 or 30 minutes, depending on how many questions you have. But I'll be here, at 6:30, though, on my time, I get to leave and go make dinner because I'm excited. It really is delicious. It's second night. I put a night in between, but it's second night of this food. I can't wait to heat it up in the microwave. Okay. Yeah, I enjoy food, and I enjoy eating, and I still enjoy eating. One thing, I'm going to leave you with this thought that I have taken away, and it stays with me, that my doctor, my surgeon, 16-plus years ago, presented at the first seminar that I attended about weight loss surgery before I had made up my mind to have weight loss surgery. I was just investigating it. And he said, you have to learn the art of dining after weight loss surgery. And that has stuck with me, and that is my truth. I only eat delicious food. I have learned how to dine and taste it and enjoy it. And it doesn't take a lot of food to do that. It takes savoring every bite. So I'm going to leave you with that. If you need to leave, the hour's up. You're welcome to leave. If you have any questions or you just want to hang on and see what other questions other people have, you're free to. But I'm here for you.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. I hope you're taking away something.
I am. I'll send you an email. Thank you again.
Great. You're welcome. Oh, I just go ahead.
I know, I'm sorry. I think you did a great job tonight. It's how are you making out with your left hand? Have you been overall very successful, you think?
I losing over 232 pounds, what do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, I was around 450 myself, and then I got down to about 250. And
that's
I
wonderful.
Pretty much maintained it. Yeah, I maintained it for a lot of years. Since I got it out, I gained I'm 50 on top now since my surgery to get it out in February. So that's why I'm pretty anxious to get on track with something and to get, get another tool back again.
Yeah, the thought of living without a weight loss surgery tool terrifies me because at 424 pounds when I was 56 years old, I could barely walk across a room. But, now I'm living my life. I mean, I spent our 50th wedding anniversary 3 years ago in French Polynesia. Of course, we're broke.
Okay, nice.
We have no retirement money left, but, I was in the water swimming with sharks, you know,
and
playing
that's
the grade.
Cool. Yeah.
And, yeah, I couldn't even imagine doing that at 400-plus pounds. I couldn't imagine taking an airline flight that was, you know, almost 12 hours.
Well, before I had, when I was told I had to get it out, you know, before February, you know, I had, I had some esophageal issues, and that's why it had to come out. But before that, I went through a whole depression thing, obviously, because I was losing my lap band. And that was, you know, for me, that was an extremely traumatic thing for me, because I had to find a way to work my way through it just to get to the surgery. Like, the morning of the surgery, I didn't even want to go, you know? So it's, you know, for me, it's been a really interesting journey, because like I went, like you, I've lost quite a bit, and I was fortunately, I did very well with it. I was able to maintain it. And, you know, once you take that tool away and you get so used to using that tool through all these years, and somebody says, well, now we're just going to, you know, we're just going to pull it out and take it away. You know, for me, that was an awful lot to swallow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, now I'm paying the price.
That's okay. You will get the weight off again if you set your mind to living your life. I don't think, actually, yeah, she still is with us. We have somebody on the line from Australia, and she does not need to speak up. Wendy, you don't need to say a word if you don't want to, who went from band to bypass and is doing mini bypass. And is doing fantastically.
Yeah. Well, I'm just hoping hoping that it works out just as well for me. You know, to go with the sleeve now, and I just hope I get a good positive result.
Whatever,
you know,
the positive results, once you have the surgery, it's back in your hands, just as it was with the lap band. So what
you decide
to do with it, is up to you, Joe. Where in Jersey are you from?
No, I'm in Philly right now, but ironically, when I was banded in Jersey, because there was only one surgeon on the East Coast doing that surgery at the time. So
where you in Philly?
I'm in a section called Bridesburg. It's like a riverfront ward. I'm sort of close to
I'm from Fishtown in Port Richmond.
Okay, so right next door. Yeah,
well,
you know Bridesburg.
I'm looking here. My mom lives in Port Richmond. She works at the IDA.
Okay.
And I'm looking at your area code, Joe, and your area code on your cell phone is a Jersey area code.
Yeah, because before I moved to Philly about 8 years ago, I used to live in South Jersey before that. So, but I just never changed the number over.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. That's why I asked you where in Jersey you were from, because of the area code.
Yeah.
And the difference between South Jersey and Philly accent is really not that much.
Well, I'm from Brooklyn.
Philly, you notice the difference when you're from here, though. I'm from Philly, and I lived in Jersey for a couple years, and my accent kind of, like, twisted at one point, and everybody's like, dude, will you relax? Because they couldn't understand, like, that it just sounded so different. But now I'm in Delaware County, which is PA, obviously, but they have, like, it's, like, almost like Philly talk here, but not really. It's, like, a little bit different.
It's
a lot of people from Philly moved out there.
Because it's starting to get nasty in Philly, one, and it's starting to get expensive too in the nicer parts.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
let's back this up
and move, you know, rather than a conversation about Philadelphia, let's move. Are there any further questions, you know, about
Well, we were going to start talking about Philly cheesesteaks next and how detrimental they are to weight loss surgery.
you can find a local Philly cheesesteak recipe and just not put it on a hoagie roll. That's all.
Right, exactly.
It's been a minute since I've had one of those. I'm not really, like, I like them, but I don't really like them.
Okay.
Everybody, we have Tennessee on the line. We have Australia on the line. And we have somebody who I don't know where she's from on the line. And so are there any other questions about weight loss surgery, about that you might have, that you're facing right now. Any issues, anything that you would like to, bring up to talk about. That's what I'm here for. We can reminisce about, where we grew up, et cetera, and that can go on for hours because we're from the East Coast and we just do that a lot. That's the reality. Any other questions? Joe, do you have any questions?
Nah, I'm pretty straightforward right now. The only, I have a lot of questions, but they're not going to be answered until after my next surgery. So, I mean, mentally, I get everything that you said because I've went through it all and I've gone through it for years. And I'm just wondering how this next procedure, I mean, me personally anyway, my next question is, how will this procedure affect me? Will it be as good of a positive result as I had with the last one? And that's my big question. So.
Hey, Sandy,
go ahead.
I'll jump in.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So I found when I revised from lap band to bypass, I think the big difference for me mentally is when I had the lap band controlled what I ate because
right.
The restriction was tight and, I couldn't eat bread and there was lots of things I couldn't eat. So the lap band controlled that. The big difference, I think, going to bypass is that that's not controlling what I eat. I'm now controlling what I eat.
What you eat, yeah, right. So, no, I get what you're saying. That makes sense.
Yeah, so for me, it's sort of a good thing, a positive thing, because it's given me confidence that I can go forward. But at the same time, it is challenging because there are things. I guess I have to learn moderation. Like, I can eat bread now.
But okay.
I'm relearning that mentally to know when to stop. So I can eat half a piece of bread and it would be easy to push that and eat some more bites, but then I obviously, there's effects so that I get nauseous and stomach hurts.
I was chuckling through some of the discussions because I was listening, to what everybody had to say about the holidays and, I didn't want to chime in, but, most people, it's like for me with lap band, like during the holidays, if I didn't want to eat, I would obviously stuff something in my mouth that would clog me. And I would get to the point, take a big gulp, don't chew it, let it go down, and then play the game in your stomach. You're clogged. You can't eat anymore. You're done, And it worked. So
That's a bad game to play.
But I did it. I did it for years, and
You did it for years, and you wound up with some esophageal issues down the road.
Yes,
so
I did. I absolutely did.
I'm going to leave it at that and say no more about that. And band has always been kept on the loose end. And it was years. It was probably 10 years before I could eat ground meat.
Wow.
But I could eat chicken.
Yeah, I never had a fill. I went in with minimal fill, and I never had any adjustments after that because the first lap band, the first ones that I got, they were like prototypes. They were smaller than the ones that came along later. So
My original band was a 4cc. I was rebanded about 4 years ago. But my original band was a 4cc. I had zero fill in it, zero fill for 15 months. And lost well over 100 pounds in that period of time because I changed my mindset. That's what I was talking about, changing mindset. And I think that's what Wendy is, is indicating now, the big change for her. She was, using the lap band to control what she was able to eat. Now she has to learn that control and make all the choices before a big bite of sticky rice and it was going to get stuck, a big bite of chicken steak meat not chewed well and it's going to get stuck. Broccoli was totally off the menu.
Oh, yeah, that was done. No broccoli.
Yeah, it's a gassy food.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So it's probably still off the menu. Post-surgery just because it creates gas, so, it can create some swelling in your stomach, but
Yeah, but I knew that because I tried to breastfeed, and I was told you shouldn't have broccoli because it can make the baby gassy.
Yeah, and I was told it was okay to drink two beers as long as they were imported. So so that the brewer's yeast was live, and I was getting B complex. We're talking many years ago. You know, my daughter's 50.
Right.
And so it was one for her and one for me. So I think my doctor was trying to get me to chill out. But I got to take.
Thank God I'm not a beer drinker.
I got a great taste for imported beer. No, now I can't drink beer. The bubbles, the carbonation gets me.
Yeah.
I'm more of a hard liquor
person.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Wendy, thank you so much for sharing that point. That's just such an important point as people transition from BAM to another surgery.
I'm trying to think. I had a question and I lost it.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so I'm on a bunch of like different support Facebook groups, and
yeah.
I do ask questions on there a lot because, you know, obviously I'm curious about specific things. Seeing as you're like, this is your profession, I'd probably be better to ask you. Like I told you before, I'm like a coffee drinker. And I know that they have like options of like sugar-free syrup. Is that like a good thing to look into for my coffees if I want to? Because I have no problem. I don't drink coffee for the caffeine. I drink coffee for the flavor. So that's why I'm completely go ahead, buddy. Sorry, my son is telling me yes to potty.
Sugar-free options are up to you. Some people like the sugar-free syrups. For some people, for me, I have to be very careful with artificial sweeteners, even stevia, because in the form that we get stevia, it's an extract. It is not a stevia leaf. If I chewed a stevia leaf for sweet, that would be in the natural form. When I get stevia extract or monk fruit extract and use it as a sweetener, only because it came from a natural source, is there anything natural about it? It's processed. Artificial sweeteners, for me, stimulate my appetite. They act in my body just like sugar does. And what sugar does is, your body has use of it immediately. So your blood sugar goes up, you get the rush of energy. And then 20 minutes to a half hour later, your blood sugar starts dropping, and you get a crash. And that crash shows itself, and it's not a big, crash fall on your face. It's your blood sugar levels start dropping, and hunger equals blood sugar levels dropping. So it creates hunger in my body for me.
Okay.
And I have to be very careful. So if you want to try sugar-free syrups, I would try them. But what I would start with is to see if you can get the little bottles of them.
Yeah.
So you can
My mom is diabetic, and she's dieting right now, doing a gluten-free diet and diabetic diet, and so she's also allergic to like almost everything. So she eats vegan most of the time. Not everything vegan, just like some vegan options because she can't have eggs and stuff. So I kind of like almost want to like follow her diet if I can, because she does a lot of low carb. She does a lot of gluten free. She does a lot of sugar free.
When you say that she's eating vegan, vegan and low carb don't go together in the same sentence.
They
vegetables have carbohydrates, and the vegan, quote, okay, meat substitutes, the plant-based meat substitutes, they're all highly processed.
Well, what I essentially meant is, like, breads and such like that. Like, she's not really eating a lot of those is basically what I meant. But she has a pretty, like, she's not totally vegan. She eats meat. But what I'm saying is she does make a lot of vegan meals just because of the options that she doesn't eat. She can't eat, like, dark meat because they make her sick. So she can only have, like, the white meat. So she basically makes a lot of meals with that where she doesn't use meat at all, and it's just vegetables and stuff. So I almost want to follow her diet just because she did so well on it. And I also have, I have a lot of support over here because my best friend had gotten the surgery done. My mother-in-law is going to get the surgery done. She's in her process of figuring her stuff out. And my fiance's stepmom, she right now she's taking some type of diet medication through her doctor or whatever. So she's been dieting and doing really well with that. So, like, anywhere I go, honestly, like, I'm basically set for, like, food options because everyone around me is dieting. So
I think that word you're using a word that terrifies me to have you use going forward. After weight loss surgery, if you perceive it as a diet, that means it's something that you're on and off of.
Well, are dieting.
I lost 120 pounds. I lost 80 pounds once, 100 pounds once, and 120 pounds once. Dieting. The minute I stopped dieting, I gained it back and then more, and then wound up at 424 pounds. And that's very, you know, so the word dieting is very scary to me because it with dieting then in my head goes, well, then you can cheat every now and again. And that's not the relationship that we want to have with food. I think what Wendy was talking about when she was explaining that you get to choose the food. She can eat bread now, so she has half a slice now. Is that you create a food plan, a way of living your life and choosing your food that works for you, that supports your health goals, rather than dieting. Because once you begin this at the very beginning, you know, when you're on clear liquids and then full liquids and then purees, yeah, that's a diet. That's a healing diet. That's a special diet to allow your body to heal and to make sure you're learning how to get your protein in. After that, when you start adding solids back, then it's the rest of your life.
Yeah, I'm definitely someone, though, that who's, like, very I get very anxious and nervous when it comes to anything medical. So I know that I will not, like, literally because I will have anxiety about it, I will not overeat any or of anything because I'll just be too afraid I'll hurt myself.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, I just needed to make that point. I hate the word diet. I absolutely detest it.
It's
because
totally fine.
It didn't work for me. It never worked. The only time diets work is when you're on them. You want to go
right
for the
lifestyle.
Before
the pandemic, I was on a diet, and I was doing so well because I wanted to have my options before I made the option of surgery. Before I was ready to make the decision of surgery, I was like, let me try this one more time for myself, just so I can see if I can really truly do this. So then I got myself on this diet. I didn't do anything too crazy. I was just basically cut out sweets. I was only eating small meals. I only ate three times a day. I know, like, when you're dieting or whatever, you're supposed to eat, like, small, like, meals throughout the day or whatever. I don't know. but I only did breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I was doing really good, though. I lost 25 pounds. Well, and I was only on the diet for, like, I think 2 months. But the only reason why I fell off of it is because right when the pandemic hit, right before it, like, literally, I'm not even joking, like, a week or two right before the whole everything shut down, I had my wisdom teeth removed, all four. So that kind of, like, threw me off because I wasn't able to eat for, like, a week. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to eat because I haven't really eaten. And then not just that, like, it was almost impossible to get, like, food deliveries for stuff. So, like, I had to get, like, cheap foods, and that it was just – it was a mess. So it kind of made me fall off my diet.
It was very difficult. It was very difficult for, you know, many people as the, you know, as the pandemic started, trying to get food deliveries and get things.
Yeah,
that,
so it kind of made it harder for me
to
shop.
To eat.
However,
yeah,
it was made it harder for me to choose for healthy food.
What you need to remember is life continues to happen. And life will continue to happen. And if it's not the shutdown due to the pandemic, it's going to be, you know, and I hope this doesn't happen. Your son has measles and he can't leave the house because he's running up, you know, a high fever. Whatever. Life is going to continue happening around you, to you, with you. And you need to be prepared because all of those, for all of our lives, however old or young you are, those have all been the excuses that we use to go off our, quote, diets, unquote. And
yeah.
When we go off our diets, what we do is we start off and then say, oh, heck, and we stay off, rather than saying tonight, changing our relationship with food and saying tonight I'm going to have a glass of wine and I'm going to have a cookie. And then tomorrow morning I will pick up exactly where I left off. It doesn't throw your choices, don't throw you off, because it's no longer the entire sleeve of Oreo cookies, nor is it the entire bottle of wine. And, you know, that might be over-exaggerating or not. You're the only one that knows, and I don't need your answer to it. But that's why we need to start changing our relationship with food and working on the fact that food isn't the answer. Food is fuel, and it can be delicious fuel. So it's okay if your body allows you to have that half slice of bread and that bread tastes really darn good, and it does, and I make it once in a while and I toast the heck out of it because with my band I can do it very toasted. It's a bagel, by the way, you know, when I do that, or rye bread from the deli that's really good. It's not, you know, garbage bread. And it's rare, but, you know, I do it. And then my next meal doesn't have the bread with it. It's not like it's constant, you know, constant either I'm perfect or I'm a screw up and forget it, I'm not even going to bother. We don't live in the black and white, but many weight loss surgery patients, many people who fight obesity live in that black or white. It's either all or nothing. That's not where we live. We want to go for 80 to 90% of being on and not being guilty and not dealing with the guilt, that other 10%, because that'll let us choose the one cookie, the one mini Snickers bar, and not say, oh, heck, I had one, I might as well eat the whole bag. Or it'll let us have one and say, all right, I'm done. There's no more trick-or-treaters coming. It's going in the trash, or it's going next door where they have kids. Or it's going out in the pantry until until so-and-so comes over and picks it up. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. That's important, and it's a learning process. It's definitely a learning process. I have got to run. My dinner is calling. I wish you the best of luck as you go forward with this. And you'll get it because you want to. You're searching. I see you searching for the answers. So I want you to know I expect you to be a long-term successful patient.
Thank you. And thank you for the group. I did message or email you.
All right. And I will, you know, I'll respond. Have a good night and take that little guy potty, please, Mom.
He already did. He knows what to do.
Yeah, I know, but he has to tell you because he's three and it's his job.
Yeah.
So have a good rest of your night. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.